This is Middlebrow, where big ideas undergo the digital martyrdom. Middlebrow is a service of Scriptorium Daily, sponsored by Torrey Honors Institute at Biola University. I'm John Mark Reynolds, and the big idea we're going to put through the digital martyrdom today is play or leisure, or what do I do with all this free time? So with me are my colleagues who view what we're doing, I think, as play, though we get sort of paid to do this. This is part of our job as professors here at Biola in a sort of broad, amorphous way. We certainly don't get paid directly, but we have fun doing it. Play and leisure. We should start by asking, are we playing right now? I mean, the fact is I'm having a good time. I saw this on my calendar. Look forward to seeing you guys. Haven't seen you since I went to Torrey Europe and you went to Torrey Berkeley. I've had a good time. Is this play or leisure? What is play or leisure? Fred Sanders.
Well, I think it's got to be more than having a good time, because if you have a job you enjoy, you still, by definition, can't call it play.
So when I'm sitting reading Plato, in one sense, that's not play because I'm getting paid to do it.
Yeah, and you had the good fortune or the foresight, or things just came together right, that you were able to pick a job where you got to do the thing you would do anyway. If I were a printer, I would read theology for fun on my own.
And that would be play. I'm not sure I'll buy that would still be play. I mean, that might be what I'm not getting paid to do, but is my work as a person called to do theology by God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's quite – fact you enjoy it doesn't seem enough to make it play. So I don't know.
But isn't part of what we do is we work so that we can have leisure? Isn't that part of what it means to be uniquely human, and that we go about – doing the work that we have to do, and sometimes we like it, which is fortunate, but that we also are thinking about ourselves in light of continually improving our person as a human.
But if Fred were a printer, mm-hmm. a thing he did, mm-hmm. To do theology would also be his work, right? It's just work he doesn't get paid to do. So, and he's not being a printer just so he can do theology, or else 8 hours of his day are kind of a waste, right? I assume you find a job like that you kind of liked and you were doing. So I want to know, clear distinction?
Have to, though, right? Some people find jobs just because they have a skill that they're good at and get good money for, but what they live for is what they do outside of their job.
Is that a moral choice?
I think it is. It's not. I'm so temperamentally opposed to it that it's hard for me to view it neutrally.
It's good for me to hear.
Some people... you know, I have friends in computers. You ask them what they do, and they say, I'm a software engineer. You say, I'm fascinated in all people's work. Tell me more. And they say, no, I refuse to tell you more. I clock in, and I do this thing. It involves making modems talk to each other, but even that makes it sound more exciting
There aren't modems anymore.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, whatever the new thing is, right?
What are the Trini hot mess fierce thing?
I make the vacuum tubes warm up at a slower rate so they don't overheat.
We're so cool. As Star Trek, the original series, would say, we live in an electronicized age.
What they really like is they volunteer a lot at church, or they golf a lot.
That's certainly true of both my grandfathers.
Yeah.
You could get them to talk all the time in the world about being deacons at Parsons Chapel Church.
Or they live for their home life. They just love to go
home. They didn't want to talk about coal mining.
Yeah, right. No, none of my grandparents coal mined. Way to fall into a West Virginia stereotype. But
I think that's a moral option. I'm wired the other way, where I want to really pour myself into my work.
Yeah, I can't imagine not having this sort of like my life at my job. I don't know where they just completely overlap. If my life was a Venn diagram, where would it stop overlapping?
Well, that's a really good point. Where would the overlap occur? So far from being immoral, which I suggested somewhat farcially earlier, this kind of person is heroic. They're doing their duty so that some other good can be fulfilled by their money-making or food-providing activity, their shelter-providing. So is play ever good? If play is not connected to our ministry or our vocation, if we're doing something, I don't know, for pure amusement, going to Disneyland, do we have to justify it by I'm going with my family and hanging out with them? That's obviously good. And when I had little kids, that was the perfect place where everybody could have a good time on a different level.
I think something like Disneyland, you can bring up a lot of intentionality to it. So you can think about being at Disneyland, enjoying yourself on the rides, but you can also use it to talk about all kinds of things. If you're with your friends, I know that like you and I and JP Moreland and Fred used to just go together.
I've edited a book there, and I teach continuously to different people about the philosophy behind some of the Disneyland
rides. Sure. So we can do lots of things while we're there. So we can be doing sort of, what would you call it, intentional leisure and playing at the same time.
But is it okay just to play? So you sit and play a computer game. To me, this is the purest form of mindless entertainment.
I was about to point out that by the time you're lecturing on the metaphysics of Disneyland, you've sort of ruined it.
Why these facades?
I have no doubt that I would enjoy listening to that lecture of yours. But you can't really call it anymore.
You have some doubt. But
yeah, I can hear it in the tone. I'm going for some doubt, too.
But some doubt. But, yeah, sure. It's what my wife once said to me as I got into a movie and I began to think about the philosophy of it. And I whispered something to her and she said, shut up. It's just a movie. and that was right. I mean, it's what you can go to a movie and, you know, watch a Tarkovsky film, even one that I initially don't like because it's deep and meaningful and I learned something from it. But maybe as I get better at film, I'll watch them on purpose for amusement. I've never watched a Tarkovsky film for fun. Mm-hmm. Just purely for fun. I may enjoy it, but I'm not watching it purely for fun. And I will read The Republic at this point for fun.
So that's in general, all forms of art are not necessarily fun, entertaining activities to do in your leisure time.
Yeah, I toured the Hermitage this summer, something I wish I had had you, Fred, with me because it would have been a better experience. And I just got tired after a certain point of greatness. I just saw so many awesome paintings that it was no longer fun to me. And actually persisted because there were some things like The Prodigal by Rembrandt that I wanted to make sure that I saw. And I did see them, I did think about them, and I did work, but I had no fun by that point in the
tour. So perchance could we say that then there's a kind of play that's also like rest in the sense of... So could it be like
you should be
sleeping... And if you're not sleeping, that's bad for you. There's a certain sense that our souls need to be at rest and at play. And play can be seen as a certain kind of mental rest that's just a necessary condition to our persons.
I think that's very right. I do want to question whether that rest could also be vigorous exertion in another direction.
You mean like gardening, let's say?
Yeah, so gardening. Hard work, you're going to get a sore back from it, but it's so different from teaching in a college classroom.
Sure.
When I enjoy working out at the gym, which is actually rarely, I mostly do it for my health. Mm-hmm. But when I enjoy it, it's that kind of vigorous activity, going for a walk with hope.
Yeah, weekend sports, intramural teams, something like that. That's hard work.
Sure.
But it's obviously restful and playtime.
Right, yeah. I didn't mean that they're the same as sleeping. I mean, it's just a different kind of thing.
Yeah, and I want to say, if you're right, Paul Spears and Fred Sanders, we don't have to justify it by fellowship or something. I always get disturbed by people saying, well, I'm playing basketball for the fellowship. You probably are, and that is a good side benefit. But why basketball? You could also... you know, hang out with your workmates and work together and you get fellowship.
Well, part of that is there's a certain amount of guilt that we all carry from, you know, you could call it bad ideas of the Protestant work ethic, right?
Yeah,
coming through to us where you're like, no, I must be producing more. And that's probably an American thing. You know, as Americans, we have that sort of drive and you think, oh, I'm wasting my time. I must be doing more things. I must be reading more books. And for academics, it's even worse, right? We feel like we have to master all pieces of content in our field. And sometimes we just don't want to.
I think that's right. Idle hands really are the devil's playground. And as we become more affluent as a culture, as we have had more free time, I think the only categories we've had are idleness or work. And so for Christians or for religious people, if the choice is between sheer idleness, mindless watching of television, just laying in your bed awake after you've, awakened and doing nothing. I really think that those circumstances are the devil's playground. And play, as you've described it, Paul and Fred, and myself in my little way, isn't idleness. It's a restful activity. There's something, you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You're either sleeping or you're doing something. You're not idle. Thoughts about that? Thoughts about idleness and play? What are good ways to play? Is there a philosophy of play?
You know, I was an artist for a long time. I was an undergraduate art major, and I was always making stuff, producing. Then after that, I was a cartoonist, so I was making cartoons. And I always had something to show for the work I was doing. And now, especially with young children, a lot of times we play and do things that don't leave behind any product or residue.
Yes, that's true.
So a lot of times drawing together is a lot of fun because you end up with some stacks of drawings.
Didn't you build a mine in
your
backyard?
One of the most popular
is a scriptorium. We dug down about 5 feet
remember this.
For no good reason. And all the neighborhood kids and all my friends' kids came over and wanted to see the hole we dug.
Yep.
That was kind of fun.
Right. Yeah, 5-foot hole is awesome. We should all... I actually did that as a kid.
Yeah.
Found a and giant rock.
Currently, currently we're building a little kind of a play set, tabletop play set for toy dinosaurs to roam around on. So that's big fun. And that's pretty hard work. I mean, I had to go buy a special drill bit and we're...
And I know you well enough, Fred, to know that it's not a cost-efficient use of your time, right?
No,
you could easily go buy something.
That's right. And it's not going to be cheaper either. We're not making our own because it's cheaper. We're making it because if you use that expanding foam, you know, that great stuff that they use in construction, that stuff is great. And we're just using it because it's fun, and I'm letting the kids come in and help make decisions with me. And
the only thing similar that I can think of immediately in our household is our internet or media center connections are way better and more sophisticated than they need to be, because unlike your friend who does modem connections or whatever they are, I don't do that sort of thing for a living. And so getting done at the end of the day and having solved all the problems where all 9 computers in the house are talking to each other is, let's face it, totally, after a certain point, irrelevant.
Do your pets have computers? Why
they
do you have 9?
Chip, clip to them. They do. They have computers.
It's just GPS, really.
No, what I decided to do was, instead of getting rid of computers as they got old, is stream media to them in different rooms. Even though I never watch...
You just can't. If you want to, you could do it.
But
no, I'm from Kentucky, where when the TVs break, you buy a new TV and stack it on top. Is this the equivalent of that?
Yeah, it really is. You never get rid of a computer. We have Commodore 64s running the monorail that I now have going around my house, which I never have time to ride, but we put it there. No, that kind of thing would look like work for a lot of people, but it is play.
So it's somewhat unique, too.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, everybody has a certain thing that could look like work to them. So if I were to pick up a musical instrument, it would be work for me.
But
for some people,
Hope.
Yeah. But for Hope, it's enjoyment. It's pleasure. And I'm thinking, while it's enjoyable to listen to, that looks like really hard work, and I just don't have a bent in that direction.
Right. Sitting for hours like my daughter Mary Kate does, practicing scales, sounds like a fate worse than death to me.
Yeah.
But I think, by and large, she enjoys it and doesn't ever expect to get paid as a result of doing
it. Right, she's not seeing herself somewhere like in New York.
Nor as part of her ministry, right? Or it has no practical value. But it's restful, not idle. Mm-hmm. And I think her soul grows through it. So the other thing I want to say about play is it does have some educational value, right? But not in the 2+2=4 or job skill sense. It's making me a better person, my play. So if we have play that's not making us a better person, one thinks of a game like Grand Theft Auto, where you can't imagine that learning to either not be bothered by punching out women or seeing sexual objects and not being stimulated, you've learned to do that, so differentiate yourself, or just lusting and feeling violent, that can't be helping your soul grow, is my guess. Going to a movie like Sex and the City, which is, you know, light porn, let's just face it. Unless you have to review films for a living, you're in some small category of people where that would be okay, maybe, for you to do. Hard to justify that. So what's bad play? I've given the category. Bad play doesn't help your soul grow or retards the growth of your soul. No growth, no retarding or shrinking would be idleness.
Mm-hmm.
Shrinking would be just being wicked.
Yeah, and so it's things like... going out and bar hopping, right? And
yeah.
I mean,
you're a worse
you think
person.
that's leisure and play, but really, what are you doing? How do you view your fellow human beings? You start viewing them as objects. It minimizes your interaction with them at a level that actually matters. Things like that.
Yeah, Book of Proverbs, "I'm only joking," is the excuse, says Proverbs, for all, you know, many bad behaviors. And I see this now in our culture. If I was only playing with you, if we're only playing, then nothing we did was bad. There's no morality to play. Fred Sanders, theology of play, anything in the Bible about play, or has the Bible got other things on its mind so it doesn't directly address this topic?
Yeah, play is not a major category in the Bible. I mean, it's in there. It's not used in the way. It's kind of like talking about the imagination in the Bible. It's not a category that the Bible uses to organize things, but the thing itself is in there. I would say, obviously, moral lines are in place. I guess in that sense, play and recreation and leisure all have to function within those lines. It's sort of a subworld, right? You're sort of sub-creating a subworld,
mm-hmm. Yes.
In which you play. It's why you can't focus too much on its edifying value or its training and development, because if the kids are thinking, I'm learning how to be a grown-up while I play this game, it kind of ruins the game,
yes.
Right? There is this sort of magical, right. Paradoxical little subworld that you have to get into to play well.
Yeah, it's the whole key to toys, you don't think they're toys. And I remember the day I got out my toy yeah. soldiers and thought, I'm going to play with my toys. And I really thought, I'm going to play with toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't play with them anymore.
Right. Well,
I became a collector and not a child.
Right.
Or it's like when you, to think that sports are training you for warfare.
Yeah.
They're really not, right? And the second that you started thinking, well, these are training me for warfare, well...
Even if the battles of the British Empire were won, as someone said, on the playing fields of Eton,
right.
You really hope the boys of Eton aren't thinking that as they engage
no, that's
in rugger,
right.
Whatever they were doing on the playing fields of Eton.
Soccer.
I think they were making modems talk to each other.
Yeah, I will guess not. Victorian modems, not a frequent topic on this show. Last thoughts on play. Fred Sanders.
It's a good thing. I mean, to play well, and I guess in the modern world, especially for people who might be wired to be workaholics, people who are strongly vocationally driven, it's really the zone in our experience that keeps us from being just personally subsumed into our work life, and to think idolatrously that our meaning comes from there, our value comes from there, that's where we make our own good.
Including ministry, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely
yeah,
ministry.
Yeah, Paul Spears.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that we have to remember, too, is not to allow ourselves to not... Wait, let me repeat that. Not to allow ourselves to be guilt-ridden by taking time
nice
to play. And I think that it's really important to integrate that into your life and to actually, if you're not planning on it, you should find time in your schedule to plan on playing.
C.S. Lewis said... We always worry about committing the sins we're least likely to commit. And I think this is true in the area of play. The people I know that worry most about people who play too much are workaholics who need to go to Disneyland, need to go to the beach, need to garden, need to do something that doesn't have quote-unquote pragmatic value. We are humans, not insects.
Hmm.
We are not called to be little hive workers for the state or someone else. Then the other category of people I know far more frequently are people who play too much and then are desperately afraid of becoming workaholics. And so we need a balance. And how can we find this? I hate to sound all Tory-like, but in community. You need to have friends who tell you, go take a break, go take a vacation, and don't bring the BlackBerry with you. And we also need friends who can say, you know, you sit on your rear end too often. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. And most of what you do is sheer idleness. Well, Lord, help us to find friends who will be that honest with us. For Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily, Torrey Honors Institute, and Biola University, this is a place where big ideas, and in this case, play, leisure, have undergone the digital martyrdom. This is John Mark Reynolds.